I'm in Deuteronomy chapter number 20. But tell you what, let's pray, and then I'll read a few verses, and with the Lord's help, I'm going to do my best to preach to you. I'm going to give you my testimony with it, too. My daddy's heard it. My daddy's in most of it, but we'll pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you again for this night. Lord, I thank you so much for all those that are here. Lord, I don't take it lightly that they're taking time out of their day. Lord, I was glancing at the schedule earlier. They got a lot that they could be doing right now. But Father, they chose to come here just to listen to this young preacher boy.
Thank you,
Lord. Lord, I don't know if I'm ever a blessing to them, but they are always, always a blessing to me. Thank you for the songs that you allowed me to sing, Lord, the truth that's in them. Lord, thank you that I've been lifted up just with their participation in singing, Lord, and how they've praised you already. Lord, it's my desire that these next few minutes as we open your word, that as I preach, number one, that you'll be glorified. But number two, Lord, I just ask that you'll help us, Father, to gain this out of your word and gain this simple thought that we can apply to our lives and where we can live a better life for you. Not a better life for us, but God, a better life for you. Father, we love you. Lord, we just ask that you'll be with us and, Lord, you'll help us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter number 20. I'll start off, I'll give you my testimony with it. And then from there, I promise it all ties into the message. So if I run too many rabbit trails, I'll apologize in advance. I was in the third grade, young boy. It was my first year playing football. And my Uncle Tommy, he kind of roughhoused with us growing up. And he said, real men play football. And so the first chance I got, man, I dove in it. And I loved it. But I was okay. I really wasn't that good. But I wasn't good enough to be on the first string. That's the ones that start. Man, that's the ones that are out there a lot. Mom and daddies are proud. They're clapping. They're cheering. They're hollering in the stands. Well, I didn't get to play that much that year. And I thought I was good. But, I mean, what third grader doesn't? But I was out there in one particular game. The coaches said flat out, the first string's playing. Only the starters are going to play. It's against our rival. It's against the best team in the league that year. Said, only the starters are going to play. So I said, okay. I went into the game not expecting to play that much. And honestly, I didn't. And, man, we got killed. I'm talking utterly destroyed. I forget what the score was because I suppressed that memory. It was a bad one. But that Monday, when we went back to practice, those coaches were still hot. Man, they were mad. So they called all the first string up. Said, first string defense, come to the front. So I stayed back. I wasn't first string. For whatever reason, they chose not to play me. Obviously because I wasn't that good. But they called first string up. And man, I stayed back. And all of a sudden, they got mad because there were only 10 players up there. They said, Richie, where are you at? Richie, get up here. So I'm right here. Raised my little hand. Kind of trot to the front. Yes, sir. You're with them. I said, no, sir, I didn't start. Don't back-talk me. But you're not supposed to back-talk your elders at all. But they made them run. They made us run. And I don't know if you guys ever do this, but I got mad. Oh, I got mad. You just been so mad that all you can do is cry. But it's not like a cry like, oh, this hurts, this is terrible. It's a cry, just that's all that you can do. That's all that's left. And the emotion just pouring out of your eyeballs. Man, I was mad. We run the two laps or whatever they made us do. And I went to the rest of the practice just as mad as I could possibly be. Getting my daddy's pickup truck to go home. It was actually my first truck that I got to drive. It was a little 85 S10 pickup, long bed. Man, for most people it looked horrible, but it was my granddaddy's truck. It was my daddy's truck, and then it was mine, so I loved it. Then we got in that thing. I put my jersey and my pads down on the floorboard, and I was just sitting there just steaming. But I said, well, what's wrong with you? And I told him the whole story that I just told you. And in all the love that he could muster, he looked at me and said, well, what are you going to do, quit? I'm a third grader. I'm looking for some love and some compassion. Oh, son, it'll be okay. I didn't get that a bit. I got a, what are you going to do, quit? And I well, no. And he said, well, then suck it up. Let's go home. So we went home, and thankfully I didn't quit. But a few years later, that was the summer going into my eighth grade year. Now, I've told some of you this, but now all of you are going to know. We actually moved from Banner Up, North Carolina, down to Pofftown. You know, you guys know it, just outside of Winston. I mean, that move, at the start, it was great. It was exciting. Everything was new. But I quickly realized that when I went and picked up and moved with my family, my friends didn't come with me. And that was a very hard summer for me. And truth be told, it was a very hard school year. For whatever reason, I guess in the mind of a young kid, I figured if I did bad enough, that mom and dad would just give up and they'd send me back to the mountains. They'd just give me what I wanted. So man, I pushed that. I thought that was the smartest thing anybody ever came up with. So I pushed that to the limit. And at the very last time, I was punished. Some people call it spanking. Some people call it, you know, my dad believed in the stars and stripes. He gave the stripes and I saw stars. Some people call it different things. But the last time, I remember getting whipped as a kid. It was probably the lightest spanking I ever received. And it was only two licks. But during that time, during our conversation of it, he basically said, well, what are you going to do? Quit? And I didn't want to. But he'd whip me as the parents have the right to. The Bible does say, spare the rod, hate the child. My daddy loved me. Still loves me. So, he whipped me. Lightest spanking I ever got. The least amount of licks I ever got, but probably had the most impact I ever had in my entire life. I just remember sitting there. It was me, him, and Mama. We just bawled. I don't know for how long, but it was just that. Everything just came to a head on that day. Freshman year was a little bit better. Finally got to start playing football again and made some new friends. Did okay in JV. Well, sophomore, I got to move up to varsity. And I tell you, you know, you go through 11 days in North Carolina before you can even put your pads on. So made through those 11 days of practice. I'm on varsity. I'm feeling like the coolest kid in school. Put on all my pads. Man, I'm just ready to go to it. And that first practice, I got destroyed. Juniors and seniors that have spent the summer in the weight room. I mean, just big boys just killing me. Now, I know you can't tell by looking at me, but I'm kind of short and husky. I was even shorter and huskier then. And I got destroyed. And going for that second day of hitting practice, we were in the same pickup truck. And Daddy just said, son, are you all right? Apparently I had the look of fear and utter torment on my face. And I said, oh yeah, I'm fine. And he said, well, how was practice yesterday? I said, oh, it was good. He said, they killed you, didn't they? And I said, yes, sir, they did. And I don't remember the exact words that he said, but the impact it gave me, I remember him saying, don't let him do it today. Patted me on the back, sent me out. In a sense, he said, what are you going to do, quit? Yesterday was hard, pick up and go. We were on a missions trip in 2006. On this missions trip with our youth group, God was really dealing with my heart as far as with accepting the call to preach. He saved me in 2004. Now this is 2 years later, and I felt the call early on after being saved, but I kind of pushed back because I was scared to death of it. I didn't know what it meant. I mean, it was, say, think what you will, it's the truth. I was nervous about it. I was scared. And so I fought it for a couple of years. But man, 2006, we're on a mission trip in Missouri. And probably the most trying time that my then girlfriend, now my wife, Dara, in our relationship, probably the most trying time we've ever had. Because while I was really being convicted over the call to preach, our communication had suffered greatly. And we hadn't been talking the way that we should. And it was in that moment that really the devil started fighting. Started fighting hard. And while we were there, I had confirmed within myself that preaching was exactly what God wanted me to do. And everything kind of came together. We were there to do a vacation Bible school. And I think it was on a Tuesday night. We had had a little argument, a little spat, whatever you want to call it. And I had walked off. And later on, she told me that when we got back together, like when we got together and started talking things out, that she had made up her mind she was going to break up with me. Probably had every right to. I mean, you disrespect somebody like that walking off, that's pretty hurtful. But we talked it out and everything got settled. But during that time, it hit me that we weren't there because of her and I. We weren't there in all honesty, for me to be called to preach, I'm thankful God did it then, but we were there to put on a vacation Bible school for those kids. And so during that time, I was honestly such a spiritual high for knowing that God was working my life, knowing that God wanted me to do something for Him, and then such an emotional low because we're having such turmoil and heartache in a relationship. It's then God kind of speaks to me and says, you're not here for any of that. You're here to help these kids. You're here for a vacation Bible school. There are kids that are lost. They're going to hell. They need me. You're here for them. And it was during that trying time, I felt my Savior say, what are you going to do? Quit? Things are hard. But what are you going to do? Just give up? It was just been a couple of weeks ago. And things have been going on in the ministries that God's allowed me to do. Thankfully, I've seen some young people saved. But because of my immaturity, because of, no other way to say it, because of my immaturities in my faith, I had probably the most emotional time, the most heartbreaking time in my time as a Christian. I was, because of my failures, I was ready just kind of to pull back. I was going to pick my hands up and just take steps back. I was going to request, in all honesty, to step down from teaching Sunday school, to step down from helping in our bus ministry, and just sit under some good men and help teach me. Sit under them and just try to learn. Because that immaturity, just it hit me hard. Just how frail and how sorry and stupid I could be. Scared me to death. And my loving wife, she just kind of put her arm around me and in so many words, she said, what are you going to do? Quit? In your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter number 20. I've given you my testimony and thankfully, the Lord showed me this here. Again, it was through a different message, but I wanted to kind of touch it here. With that mindset, what are you going to do? Quit. Question that's changed my life in every aspect that you can think of it. What are you going to do? Quit. Deuteronomy 20, chapter number 1 says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye come nigh unto battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. They shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. What a great thought. What a great truth. No matter what we face, no matter what trials we're with, we have a promise here. We have a promise that is given that no matter where we are, that the Lord is there to fight the battles for us. What a great reason just to stay in the battle. What a great reason to stay. Man, these priests give them such wonderful things. Not only is the Lord God with you, He's fighting for you. These men are getting ready to go to battle. They're getting ready to have a sword in their hand and to slay their enemy. But the promise that the priests give them is that, no, you don't understand. It's not you that's fighting. The Lord your God is with you and fighting for you to save you. They're telling them, yeah, you're going forward, but the battle's already been fought. You're just going through to accept the victory. Now, we have the same promise in the New Testament. It's the promise that's given that. How amazing is that? That the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Christ said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's not saying that all the work that you do for the Lord is going to be blessed. That's going to say all the work that is done in the name of Jesus Christ, He's already fought that battle. He's already fighting for the victory. He's already gaining all of that. He just wants you to keep going forward for Him. Yes, times get hard, but He said, no, you just go. Go forward. Keep pushing forward. What greater reason to stay in the battle that no matter what's going on in our lives, we know that we have a Heavenly Father who wants us to stay in the battle for Him and wants us to go. Man, just keep going. He is fighting the battle for us. All we got to do is take steps and go. But the next part of these verses are kind of what brings everything to life. Such a great reason to stay, but let's look at what comes next. Verse number 5 says, this is after the priests have spoken. It says, and the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. What man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return into his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. What man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return into his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. The officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return into his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Kind of sobering thoughts. He says, if you have a house that you've not gotten comfortable in yet, if you have a house that's built, you've worked for it, man, the things that you could have put in there, the things that you could accomplish with that, whoever has that house and you've not dedicated it yet, go on home. He said, lest you die in the battle and somebody else dedicate it. I got to think about that. Man, there's so many things that we want. I talked to our teenagers kind of on this subject. I said Xbox. I don't think that's going to work too well here. Of course, y'all got a Wii. And I got a bowler back there. Hey, come on, Gary. Don't be too modest. But you know what? We still want things. Things still kind of consume us at times. He said, if things are more important, if that house is more important to you than what you're doing right now, he said, go on home. But not only that, he said, whoever has a vineyard, man, you've not eaten thereof, go on home. Man, the accomplishments of life, sometimes they're there, and that's all you think about. Man, I want that big house. I want that car. I want. Give me more. If those accomplishments are more important than the battle, it said, go on home. Sometimes relationships are more important than the battle. That's what it talks about with the wife. But quickly, that last one, it says, if you're afraid. Those first three were personal. If you have something that's more important than where you're at, just pick up and go. But it said that last one, he said, if you're afraid, if you're fearful, he said, we need you to leave, lest you cause your brother to be afraid. What they're saying is, Daniel, if you're afraid, he said, we need you to leave because your fears might go over to Brother Gary. And if Brother Gary gets afraid, that might spill over to the other two. And that might spill over until everybody is now afraid of what's ahead. He said, if you're fearful and you're afraid, just go on home. You're saying, well, how does any of this apply to me? You know, sometimes we can find some really good reasons just to quit. Oh, it might not be for weeks. It might not be quit for months. Man, there's sometimes things pop up that we just want to quit for a day. And we get so caught up in reasons to quit that we forget about the reasons to stay. You get so overwhelmed with why I'm not where I want to be. I've not accomplished that which I wanted to do. I don't understand. I wanted so much more. And so you just get so downhearted. You get so depressed. You just get so bottled up where it's all about you. It's all about, it's me. And you forget what was said in verse number 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies. We get so caught up with us. We get so caught up in ourselves that we forget this battle is not about us. This battle is about our Savior. This last part is really good reason to stay. Verse number 9. It says, and it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the army to lead the people. Now, let's really think about that verse real quick. The priests come up, give them wonderful reasons to stay. But then the officers come up and kind of hit them with reality. If you're afraid, go home. If your relationship's more important, go home. Tell you what, if you have a vineyard you're not eating thereof, go home. If that house is more important, go home. I could just see these people leaving. They finally have that excuse to just go. They were given the reason. Nobody's going to think bad of them. Let's just go. And I can see in my mind's eye, just as things start going on, and the officers are standing up and they're telling them what all the reasons in the world to leave. And as people are going, this next verse is what rings in my mind. Because who's going to be made the captains? Who's going to be given that honor? Those that are left. Those that remain in the battle. Those that stand prepared to fight, stand and they're prepared to go forward with the promise on their shoulders and the promise in their heart that the Lord their God is already fighting that battle. Those that don't want to give up just because they didn't make it to where they thought they were going to be. Those that don't want to give up because they realize that there's no relationship more important than their relationship with their Savior. Those that don't want to give up because they know that no matter what accomplishment could be had in this life, God is more important than that accomplishment. Didn't Paul say that he's going to count his gains but losses? When he's looking at his Savior, he's looking at everything that God did for him, and then all of a sudden he realizes that everything that I have is nothing compared to him. Man. What are you going to do? Quit? Just because times get hard? Just because things don't turn out the way you want them to? Just because there are moments where you feel all alone? It's not a reason to quit. The reason to stay is too much. It's just too much. We have a Savior fighting for us. He's fighting the battle for us. But He loves us so much, He tells us that if you stay, I'm going to make you a captain. That's not a small thing. The promise of a reward. Can you imagine when you make it to heaven? And God Himself, the one who created the universe, the one whose hand formed you in your mother's womb, the one whose hand holds the universe, the one whose hand formed this hill where this building sits. That hand is going to be the one that picks up that crown and puts it on you. That reward. That's worth it. I can't imagine standing before my Savior. And when He says, well, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? Was the battle too hard? Well, He said, what's the reason? I couldn't imagine in my hand handing Him my excuse of why I couldn't. And then Him reaching out with a nail-pierced hand to take it. Can you imagine even the thought of that? That hand that was nailed to the cross for me. That hand that was nailed to the cross for you, accepting that excuse so He could see it for Himself. I want to die on this battlefield. Hey, I want to die in this war. The reward is so great. Don't quit. The promises are too real. Don't quit. Oh, but it's just for a day. No. It'll be for longer. Some of you might be saying, but it's been a week. It's been a month since I've fought in the battle. It's been a month since I've done it. It's been a year. Brother Daniel, I can't remember the last time I read my Bible. Brother, I can't remember the last time I was sitting at the lunch table and I told somebody about the Lord. Brother Daniel, I can't remember. You know what? If you're saved, you're still there. You're still on the winning side. You still have that promise that rings true for you. You still have a Savior that loves you. And you can get right back in it under the banner of the cross. Hey, don't quit. Tonight, will you with me promise that you don't want to quit? Will you just, let's dive in. Hey, I'm serious about this. I don't want to stand before my Lord seeing what He has for me and realizing that I came up that short. Now, yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's salvation. We can never reach the mark of perfection that's been set by God. But we can do that which He calls us to do. Because if He calls us, He's going to equip us. He's going to let us do it. He's not going to call us to do something we can't do. He's going to call us to do something that we can do with his help. He is already fighting the battle. Will you promise with me that we're going to do that? We're going to go forward. We're going to do that. Hey, don't quit. Don't quit. Will you promise with me, you know what? I've quit. I've held back. I'm not doing what I should. Hey, step right in there with me. Let's go. I gave you stories of times I had to pull myself up by my bootstraps and go. I've not always responded the way that I should have. But I want to respond from here on out the way that would please God. Don't quit. The promises are too real. The rewards are too great. And our Savior's too good for us just to quit. Don't quit. I want to leave you tonight with the words that have echoed in my life. What are you going to do? Quit?